We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
Welcome back to The Spark. I'm Asia Tab. Pride Month is here, and it usually brings events, marches, and parades dedicated to the LGBTQ plus community. Though celebrations mark the occasion, Pride is also a call for equality and unity. Today, Sarah Hammond, the Fairness PA State Director, joins us to tell us more about it. So, hi, Sarah.
Hi, Asia. It's so nice to be here today. Thanks for having us.
I know. I'm so glad you're here. So, can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. Well, my name's Sarah. I am a Pennsylvania, South Central Pennsylvania girl through and through from Hanover, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
I'm very excited and privileged to be able to join you today from my role with Fairness Pennsylvania, a new LGBTQ plus advocacy organization statewide here across the Commonwealth of PA. And it really is just a privilege to be able to be here to talk a little bit about our launch and the important work that not just ourselves but other folks are doing all across the Keystone State here this month and all year round.
Yeah, and Fairness PA has launched this month. Tell me about it, what it is, and why it's so important.
So Fairness Pennsylvania is a statewide organization focused specifically on the legislative advocacy and the public education front here in Pennsylvania. So I'm really privileged in this position to get to do a lot of the one-on-one legislative and lobbying work on behalf of many LGBTQ plus issues across the state for our organization here. And it's been really just an incredible opportunity to have the chance to partner with so many organizations, from community groups to pride organizations to individuals who are heavy hitters both out front and behind the scenes on issues that result in justice and safety and equitable opportunities to make sure that every person across the Keystone State is able to live and thrive in the best, healthiest, and most authentic environments possible. So we are both a C3, 501c3, and C4 nonprofit arms of our organization dealing on the legislative and the public engagement work. But we're also doing a lot of work, especially this year, in helping to get the vote or get the word out to voters that there is an important election. We're an apolitical group, so we're here to just be able to educate on the political process, both in Pennsylvania and beyond, and to encourage folks to both register to vote or to make sure that they're engaged in the process and making sure that they're doing their civic duty come November.
And what was the process to launching this initiative?
So Fairness Pennsylvania supersedes even my involvement here in the state, but I'm really, really privileged to get to work with a core board here who are just so exciting. I really want to give a shout out especially to Elise Michaud and Nat Yap, who are both of our board chairs for our respective organizations here. And it's just really, really cool to get to be part of a group that works so cohesively together, representing so many diverse environments across the state. We have folks really in every region who are on the ground working in local government, in the fundraising and economic development side of things, who are focused on the faith-based communities, and just really representative at every so many different levels across the state. And I think it's really been a great opportunity to bring some good people to the table who have a wide breadth of connections and who are members of the LGBTQ plus community, who are active in our respective areas of the state. We're really fortunate to have representation from some of us who are members of various governors' commissions, advisory commissions across the state, to having folks who were groundbreaking individuals running in their own communities for office, or really everything in between, starting really well-versed PACs that have helped to educate on issue-based advocacy dealing with things that we're facing as a community statewide. So for the launch process over the last year or so, I think really getting to meet a lot of these individuals and to have the conversations to see, you know, there's this need here in the state. We can especially reach out and be a support system in rural communities like mine, from Hanover and York County to southern Lancaster County, where I live now, and all across the state. And it's been just a really nice opportunity to learn how we can support the community groups that are out there, and also to really be able to be a legislative resource in the Capitol.
And Sarah, for those that may not know you or your involvement, why did you choose to support Fairness PA and the LGBT community?
So on a personal note, I am a member of the LGBTQ plus community here. I was the first out candidate, actually, a Democratic nominee for Congress in 2020 when I ran in South Central PA in my community. But along that process, and even furthermore, this is something that has been a lifelong endeavor and experience for me, having so many friends coming from a rather conservative community when it came to various lived experiences that we had had, coming up at a time when marriage equality didn't exist and where we were able to sort of find a voice as we were coming through our college and young adult careers here, was something that really helped ignite my personal advocacy spark and understanding that I always say things are sort of red lens, blue lens, like 3D glasses, right? You can see your lived experience in one lens and you can see the objective reality in another, and those things can come together to create a whole picture. And I think for me, understanding that I went down a path where I was able to learn a lot about the legislative experience and about the importance of policy and advocacy and how that can impact folks like myself and others like us all across the state, but especially in rural communities like mine, really made the opportunity with Fairness stand out for me. And I come from a background where I worked with unions doing legislative advocacy in the Capitol already. I had the privilege of working on helping to pass the Fairness Act through the State House with some bipartisan support earlier this session last year. And I'm just really excited to be able to dedicate full time my energy to helping move the ball forward with so many other great advocates and individuals who are leading this charge as well.
And how will this help support those in the community?
So I think one of the biggest approaches I've always taken is I think it's really important to understand, especially in any type of oppressed community, but certainly looking at ours and where we're focused in with Fairness Pennsylvania, is taking an intersectional approach and really listening to folks who have been in these communities with similar lived experiences and understanding the issues that we face and that we continue to face. I think that sometimes when we hear about non-discrimination ordinances or folks hear and think, you know, we passed marriage equality, but we see things like Roe versus Wade being overturned at the SCOTUS level, and understanding marriage equality could someday face that same reality. Being able to come back and listen to the community about fears about that being a potential to be brought up as a what's called, quote, state rights here at some point. I think listening to these initiatives and these concerns and being able to really channel them to the best of our abilities in conversations where we're meeting folks across the aisle where they're at, and from my perspective, having the privilege and having to have the patience in this position to have those sometimes hard conversations, but to continue to do those so we can try to advance forward is certainly an approach I take. But I think being really trauma-informed and being an active listener and creating a safe space and also supporting the safe spaces that do exist within our individual communities and community senators are really key parts, not only for myself, but for Fairness Pennsylvania when we're looking at our approach to how we address some of these conversations and can help challenge or channel those challenges into constructive legislation.
And from your point of view, you said you were from Hanover, Pennsylvania. Like, how have you seen the LGBT community grow?
So it's been really interesting. I just turned 31 in May, so I know I'm sort of middle
ground. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you very much. And so for me, it's really interesting because I remember growing up in Hanover, and I love the 717. Everything I do comes back to my initial thoughts and feelings and the lived experiences of folks like myself and those around me in Hanover and across South Central PA. So when I'm looking at the Hanover I grew up in, I think there are a lot of well-intentioned people, but I think there are also a lot of folks who we're not as exposed to various forms of diversity. And I think that sometimes there can be a cognitive dissonance or a little bit of maybe pushback or scaredness to have in-depth conversations that could challenge what we've been taught or what we've learned here. And one thing I feel very strongly about is oppressed groups should never have to be the ones that are shouldering the burden of having those conversations. But the reality is most of the time that we're left to fight by ourselves sometimes, and sometimes with more resources in various areas to having those conversations and trying to stand up for ourselves. But I think with fairness, what I value here, and with the other organizations out in the field who are helping to do some of this work at various levels, is it, part of the privilege of being in an organization like this is to be able to empathize, have those trauma-based conversations, and then be able to translate that into productive conversations to meet people where they're at to make things more inclusive and better. And I think we are taking steps forward to do that.
And with Fairness PA, is there anything that the public can do to help? Or is there like a platform that they can reach you guys at?
Absolutely. So first and foremost, what I would say is I try my best to be able to have as much direct outreach as possible. We are an organization that is really excited about the possibility of collaborating, whether you're a local organization or you're an individual that is running an advocacy group. So definitely feel free to reach out if you go to our website, www.fairnesspen.org. You can find my email there. It's Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, at fairnesspen.org. I would love to hear from you. Would love to find ways we can collaborate. I know that from our perspective, in the future, we'll be working everything from lobby days on specific issues to being able to engage volunteers in our communities. So we'll be out at York Pride. This weekend, we'll be at Prides all across the state. And my last things would be find us at Fairness PA on Facebook and Twitter and other social media, and make sure you're registered to vote.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks so much.
We're now being joined by Pastor Dante of Lift Church in Lancaster. Hi, Dante.
Hey, thank you for having me.
No problem. And we're also being joined by Tesla Tarafaro, the president of the Rainbow Rose Center in York. Hey, Tesla.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity.
So glad to have you with us, too. We're here to talk about what they do here in Central PA for the LGBTQ+ community. So, Tesla, could you tell us about the Rainbow Rose Center?
Yes, absolutely. The Rainbow Rose Center serves York County's LGBTQIA+ community by fostering an environment of inclusion, equity, and health where all LGBTQIA+ community members can thrive in York County, Pennsylvania.
And Pastor Dante, could you tell us a little bit about your church and how you came into ministry in the LGBTQ+ community?
Yeah, thank you, Asia. So our church is this kind of eclectic, hodgepodge mix of different people from Christian and non-Christian backgrounds that have all kind of condescended on Lancaster County in the city and have kind of created this new spiritual community. I like to kind of preference with everything I'm going to say in this conversation with anything you think about Christianity, just forget it when you talk about our church, because we're not the traditional church. We're not a church about doctrine or dogma. We the only thing that we uplift as a standard is the idea that God is love. And so that's what we're here to do. We're here to kind of create a new spirituality that's Christian influenced. And that's LIFT, United Church of Christ.
And Tesla, could you tell us how you became involved with the Rainbow Rose Center? Because you're the president there.
Yes, correct. I am the president and one of the co-founders of the Rainbow Rose Center. We actually grew out of what was called the Equality Fest events, which were a multicultural event that really was meaning to celebrate marriage equality in Pennsylvania. So they started in 2014 with Equality Fest, and those events grew to host a number of them, including like an Equality Fest Junior for youth, Coming Out Day celebration, and a Transgender Day of Remembrance. But in between that, a bunch of community members were reaching out to the organization and saying, hey, I need to know where I can go and get health care, or I need a mental health therapist, or even I want to know where I can go out to eat with my same gendered loved one without fear of being accosted or violently attacked. So where can I go? So some of the volunteers realized that the community really needed a resource center. And so in 2019, we got together and started formulating a plan, but it wasn't until June of 2020 where we established the Rainbow Rose Center and got our 501c3 nonprofit status, and we've been growing ever since.
And Tesla, you just said that you saw a big need for this center in the community.
Absolutely.
Can you talk about the impact that it's had here in Central PA?
Yes. Since we got started, we have helped over 50 members of the gender diverse community with the legal name change process in York County. We have helped hundreds of individuals with resource connections to like those doctors, therapists, even like where to get nails done or go shopping for wedding gowns. We've helped folks with providing access to certain resources like computer library, lending library, and things like that. But pretty much whatever the community has a need for, we step in and serve that need as best as we can. And we do that through a lot of community support and a lot of volunteer support, because up until this year, we were all volunteer run. We've luckily just been able to hire a part-time office manager to help maintain those email and phone requests. And we're currently searching for a full-time executive director as well.
And Pastor Dante, you're pastoring in the Lancaster community.
Yeah.
So could you tell us what you offer during your church services as well, or other things that you may offer outside of church?
Yeah, you know, the way I would like to put it is, and I think I'm speaking for my community when I say, if what we do could be summed up into one statement as it relates to the LGBT community, which I am a part, it would be to inspire LGBT people to not feel like they have to, you know, look to the Bible for permission to be who they are authentically. You know, I started off as a very young person in the church who just took on to church and loved it. I remember when I was in high school, they called me the Bible boy because I carried around a large print Bible, a leather-bound book, and I never concealed it in my locker. I mean, I really took on the whole, what I'm trying to say is I really took on the whole ethos of what it meant to be at the time, what we call now a conservative Christian. But at the same time, I was also sensing, you know, an attraction to the same gender, which wasn't just physically, but it was also romantic. And, you know, over my lifetime in my early teens and 20s, I met many people that really helped me to open my mind and to understand God in a more broader context, which helped me in 2010 when I met my first partner to come out to my congregation. I stood up before the church and I read a letter to them, and I told them in the middle of it, I'm gay. And I said, if you don't accept me now, you never did. And there were some that came up and gave hugs. Most of them turned their backs on me, and I was excommunicated. Ended up coming out here to Lancaster from Philadelphia, is where I initially started my ministry. But in that process, I've really gained such a new appreciation of Christianity and of spirituality in general, and kind of, you know, looking at the Bible not as this like prescriptive book of rules that get into the mind of God, but understanding that the Bible is really this really flexible art and, you know, rich with imagery document that you can look at to express, to convey the expressions of your heart. So, like, to sum it up, like, you don't look to the Bible to, you know how you should think or feel, but rather the Bible is like this art palette of resources that you can use to kind of describe what you are thinking and what you're feeling. And I love the flexibility of that.
And Pastor Dante, we talked about it a little bit off air, but what was the response back when you came here to Central PA to spread that message?
Oh my goodness, it was so interesting. I started off in a very conservative town that was like 80%, I don't know if I can say Trump here, but Trump, you know, Trump, you know, it was like Republican. And it was one of the most enriching experiences of my life. I got to meet people and to really enter into some very deep, profound relationship conversations about what it meant to be LGBT, and really enlightened a lot of people and got a lot of enlightenment myself. And then, as fate would have it, I ended up here in Lancaster in a very different environment where the conversation is a little different now. And the conversation is more about speaking to people that identify like me, a part of the LGBT community, and just finding ways of creating spirituality that's safe for people.
And speaking to you two, you know, when it comes to the month of Pride, I'm sure a lot of people, they see rainbows, they see festivals, they see, you know, all sorts of events. I'm going to ask both of you, but I'm going to start with you, Tesla. What does Pride Month mean to you?
So the Rainbow Rose Center has a signature event that grew out of those equality fest events I spoke of earlier, and it's called York County Pride. And it really is a time to come together and to celebrate the full inclusion of our wonderfully diverse community, and specifically celebrates our LGBTQIA+ community in York County. This year, we have a full weekend of events lined up to entice everyone. And that's been made possible through some really big support from our local community, including the York County Tourism Grant from Explore York.
Yeah. And when I think about pride, I think about embracing the beauty of who you are. And I think about people coming. I mean, I was just at Lancaster Pride. And I look forward to York Pride this week, actually. Yeah. I'm planning to show up. But at Lancaster, I'm just throwing out numbers. Maybe 50% were allies. I mean, it's mm-hmm. about the whole community
Probably
coming
more.
Together. Yeah. And affirming, like, the beauty of what it means to be individual and how, you know, the beauty of expressing in diversity.
And how would you two describe an ally?
I would say that an ally is an active verb. It's not just like a title that someone can take on. An ally is somebody who fully embraces a person, irregardless of who they are, how they identify, or whom they love, but that not only just doesn't care about that, but does care about the person's individuality, because it's something that makes up the core being of that individual. And so being able to affirm that person, to stand up for them when necessary, to speak up for them, is really what I consider to be an ally.
Ditto. I mean, you did. That's yeah. probably the best definition. I think being an ally, when people hear that, especially in this region of the country, some people might find that term intimidating. And my message to them would be, you know, if you have a desire to embrace someone and you have a desire to be present for the LGBT community, that's kind of like the first step. I mean, you start where you are and you embrace the fear and you move forward with it.
One of the things that Dante had mentioned, like the people in his congregation that came up and hugged him, those are some of the biggest things that allies can do. Mm. Just offering a simple embrace when somebody is in a state of possible fear or distress versus the people who turned his back on them or who turned their back on him
yeah.
and didn't accept him for who he is. That's the difference.
I was so scared in that moment.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember sitting out on the park bench afterwards thinking, what did I do?
Yeah.
Like, everybody in my family was crying. And just to have people line up and give me hugs, let me know that even in that moment, I'm okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And what is the mental health that goes into this community that others may not understand?
Well, I would say that the LGBTQIA+ community is not only a minority group, but there's so much political and violent rhetoric mm-hmm. happening in our society at large right now, especially mm-hmm. Especially in 2024, with it being an election year. Like, our community's targeted. And so it really is detrimental to the mental health of our community, both for the people who are maybe not ready to come out and speak their truth yet, as well as the people who are living authentically. I mean, it's anything from not being able to be sure if they will be accepted by themselves or by their loved ones, maybe by their churches, by society at large, and then fearing for their health and well-being and their safety.
And there's so much, as you've already spoken to, there's so much rhetoric coming out of religious spaces that, I mean, literally there's nights when I just wake up and cry just thinking about what I'm hearing in the political sphere and how religion is being catapulted to hate. And again, that's why I think it's so important that that people who identify as Christians or even spiritual people, you know, are present and are voicing that affirmative love that we see at least Jesus trying to express in the Bible.
And you two are doing a lot for the community. Tesla, could you tell us about the event that you guys have going on over at the Rainbow Rose Center this weekend?
Yeah, so we are kicking off a full weekend of Pride events, starting with Friday night. We're hosting our first annual York County Pride Ambassador Pageant, where we're going to have a lot of members of the community who are really out with their personality compete for this title of York County Pride Ambassador 2024. That's a 21-plus event that has tickets, but it's going to be really exciting. Then on Saturday, we have our main event starting at 11 a.m. at the All Trans Memorial Hall at the York Expo. That's going to have exciting performances from the Kinsey Six and a lot of local performers as well. And it has a lot of interactive activities, more than almost 200 vendors, and a lot of messaging to show support for the community. And then after Pride on Saturday night, we're actually doing an after party at the same venue from 8 to 11. That's going to be a really exciting event with a DJ and local drag performers, along with New York artist Petra. And then on Sunday morning, we're actually working with one of our local United Churches of Christ at Heidelberg UCC.
Great church.
To host the Pride Pancake Breakfast, which is a free all ages event for people to come out and get rainbow pancakes and side dishes. And we'll also have a giant hamster wheel that is used to make snow cones from Kinetic Creations. So we're really excited for this full weekend of events. And then next week, our final event of the month is our Pride Night at the Ballpark, which has been hosted by the York Revs for the last 6 years. And there's going to be some beautiful Pride jerseys that are uniquely designed by the Revs and sponsored by JLS Automation to benefit the Rainbow Row Center that are going to be auctioned off throughout the game.
I want to thank you two so much for being here with us to share your stories and about the things that you guys have going on in the community. And I want to thank you for listening and making us a part of your day. Remember to find us on Facebook and like our page, The Spark, to stay connected with us.